So, hi, I'm Tom Evans, and I'm doubly thrilled today to have author of No Excuses, No Limits, Paul Wakeful on the call. Doubly excited because, one, I've read the book, and two, it's always a delight to have a fellow podcaster on the show. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, mate. How are you doing? I really appreciate your time today, Tom. Thanks for doing this.
Real pleasure. Well, the pleasure's all mine, as always, because I learn as much as anyone from all of these conversations, which is great. And I've just been reading your book, and what takes me by it is this, is it's written by someone who's far too young to have the experience to write a book like that. So how have you packed everything into your life? I mean, you know, from running pubs to burger joints and all sorts of things, and then in you're only a young chap, and you've written this self-development book, which is just great and so inspiring.
Thank you.
How do you pack it all in?
I'm 37, mate, and I must admit, without starting this call on a downer, I always say to people, you know, if life ends now, you know what, I've had an incredible journey. You know, I've experienced a lot of things that I could probably quite comfortably say and confidently say that a lot of people haven't experienced, good and bad. It's been a real journey, mate. It's been a real journey. And it's allowed me, you know, to really share my experiences, like I say, the good and bad. And one thing that, you know, I often find with people, me included, you know, although the book is called No Excuses, No Limits, I make it quite clear in there that I'm not perfect, I make excuses, but I just kind of thought, you know what, if you really want something in life, let's just stop making excuses, let's get on with it, because for me, the only limits in our life, whatever it is, are in our head. You know, we put the limitations on what we can achieve, and I just really wanted to share with people the ups and downs that I've had, but yet I've still carried on through everything, you know, and I'm extremely grateful for the support I've had. It was just really, let's just get it out there and say to people that no matter what happens in life, let's be grateful, let's appreciate that, you know, it's one precious human life. Let's make the most of it. Let's stop making excuses and make the most of it.
So why do you think people make excuses then? Why is it easier to make the excuse than it is to do the thing?
I think a lot of it comes down to maybe the fear factor. I also think, you know, it's the inner confidence in people. You know, I think sadly that society that we live in now, the world we live in now, you know, we've got to face facts. The truth is that we don't trust, or we've got very little trust in authority. You know, so if we look at the police force, you know, things that have happened over the years, sadly, there's a lack of trust within the police. If we look at the government, there's a lack of trust in the government. Without bringing it up, a lot of the celebrities over the last few years, I'm not going to mention too many names, but, you know, we don't, Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris, all of these guys, people who I grew up with as a kid, look at what's happened with them. So I think as individuals, we're very fearful of trust. And I think that also then leads to ourselves in, I want to do something, but I'm scared of the consequences. I've seen in the media that this could happen, that could happen. So it's easier to make excuses. You know, it's very, very simple to put something off. Instead of going to it and just going, right, yeah, that's it, I'm going to take the bull by the horns, I'm going to do it. It's easier to make an excuse than actually do it. Because again, we live in society where we don't want to be embarrassed. You know, whereas I think for me personally, I probably put far too much out there. Because if, let's just look at business side of things or whatever, if I want to put a new product out there, I'll tell people before I've even done it, because then that puts pressure on me to go and do it. And very I'm happy wise. To do that. That's kind of how I work. Whereas I think with people, a lot of people are fearful of that. You know, they're like, well, I'm not going to do that because if I don't actually do it, I make myself look stupid. So we make an excuse about it.
And so a lot of these excuses then, we bring an external factor in, like, I can't do this because I haven't got time, the dreaded time thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I can't do it because the government is doing this or the other, or my boss won't let me do this. So it's natural for us to use an external agency as our excuse.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's really masking the internal agency not wanting to do something for this fearful factor?
Yeah, because I, as I said, you know, I'm a big believer in, as I said, this is one precious human life. This isn't a rehearsal, you know. So I want to make the most of everything. You know, I really want to embrace what we've got. You know, things like this with technology, you know, let's embrace it, let's accept it. Let's not make excuses on why we can't use it. And I think if people can really kind of get to grips with their head, in their head, that nothing's going to happen. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, it's, I don't know, you ask someone to do something and they say no. You know, so I just think if people embrace everything that we've got and stop making excuses about everything, life could be so much easier. Life would be a lot less stressful. You know, I say time is a big, big problem for a lot of people. And they'll make excuses on why I shouldn't do this. Do you go to the gym? No. Why not? Oh, well, I haven't got time to do that. Okay. Are you feeling healthy today? No, not really. So why don't you go to the gym? Oh, well, I can't. So it's constant. It doesn't matter what we do. It's constant. You know, and we need to man up, really. We just need to man up and face facts and go, look, let's appreciate what we've got. Let's accept what we've got and just go and do it. You know, some of the examples that I always use, you know, when we was all younger, especially for me, when I started riding my bike, I fell off my bike constantly when I was learning how to ride it, you know, and I'm sure without a shadow of a doubt, I made excuses on why I shouldn't keep going. But my parents persevered and I kept going. Now, when I fell off the bike, what was the worst that happened? I probably grazed my knee, maybe grazed my hand. It didn't kill me. I know that's the extreme, but it didn't kill me, you know. So I look at it, let's stop fearing everything. Let's stop making excuses and do it. And just use our inner beliefs. And if we believe in ourselves a lot more, which, as I said, I think sadly with what's happened, confidence is low in a lot of people, so it's easier to make an excuse that way. But we've got to stop. You know, we're all good at something. Let's just get on with it. Let's just do it and see what happens. Surely that makes life fun, right?
It does. Well, what did you make then the decision to not make any excuses and become this author of No Excuses, No Limits, and also to podcast as well? Could you imagine that sort of 3 or 4 years ago that's what you were going to become?
No, far from it. you know, I left school with no qualifications. You know, when I left school, you know, I wanted to be a fashion designer. And my careers expert, careers advisor, advised me to go into engineering. So I went into engineering, done 3.5 years of a 5-year toolmaking apprenticeship, and was told that I'm dyslexic, and this isn't career for me. You need to do something else. So I suddenly wasted 3.5 years of my life doing something I didn't want to do in the first place. So, you know, I could have then gone on and made excuses on why I didn't do what I wanted to do. I fell into sales and done all sorts. So I didn't actually read my first book until I was 28.
Wow.
So, yeah. And as I said, I'm 37 now. So it's only 9 years ago. I did not read my first book until then. Even when I was at school and we was doing English literature, English languages and stuff like that. They had to write to the education board to see if there was other books I could read, because obviously we had to write essays on stuff, and it was like, right, that's what you've got to do it on. I just couldn't read the book. I'd maybe like get back and forth, and never completed a book, so I could never write an essay. And the education board were like, no, it's part of the education, this is what you've got to do. So you can obviously imagine part of the reason why I come out with, you know, no qualifications. So yeah, I read my first book 9 years ago when I was 28. And again, I set myself a challenge. I was with a girl at the time, partner at the time, and she read a lot, and we was going on holiday, and she was like, right, we was out one weekend. She says, well, I'm going to get 2 or 3 books to read on holiday. And I was like, 2 or 3? I went, what, and you're going to read those within the 2 weeks? She's like, yeah, of course I will. I was like, oh my God. So I was like, right then, I'm going to get a book. And she was like, good for you. So I actually started reading the book 2 weeks prior to going. Excuse me. And I actually finished that book on the flight as we was coming in. I now live in Newcastle. So as we was coming into Newcastle, I finished the book before we landed. But yeah, that was the first ever book I read. And even now, although I'm an author, which to me still sounds very bizarre, And I am writing a couple of other books, and I've written a few other e-books. I much prefer audio. But the time was right. I mean, I started writing this book about 4 years ago, and then I stopped. The time just wasn't right. I open up a lot in this book about myself, about, you know, bullying at school and being involved with drugs and various things, being dyslexic and various things like that. And I open up a lot, and, you know, I've not opened up too much out of respect for my parents and things like that. So if someone would have said to me, even 5 years ago, Tom, that I would be a published author with a book that's on sale in 24 countries and I'd be doing podcasts, I would have laughed at them.
Mm.
You know, no chance. But, you know, I knew it was something I wanted to achieve. And it was like, okay, again, I'm one of these people, you know, if I want to achieve something, I do whatever it does, whatever it needs to do, or whatever it needs to take to achieve it. So this is my little baby. I'm over the moon with it. It's my little thing.
Oh, you're right to be. So going back to that book then, because obviously there must be a change in your neurology to be able to, be able to read the book, and two, to want to read the book. So was it, in this case, simply the love of a woman?
I tell you what's weird, and yeah, because, and it's not the, I mean, the lady who I moved up to be here with, sadly that didn't work, but I was in a relationship a couple of years ago, and the girl who I was in the relationship she was an HR, senior HR officer for the NHS. And when we first met, we'd only been together probably about a month, and we went out for a long walk for about 7 or 8 miles, maybe a little bit longer. And we started talking, and I really opened up to her, and kind of, you know, probably a little bit too much, considering we had only known each other a bit of a, you know, a month. Sadly, again, we're no longer together. We lasted 2 years, but how have we got that far after some of the stuff I told her? But I opened up to her. I spoke about that, like, my demons and, you know, again, the depression, social anxiety and stuff like that. And she was like, you know what, Paula, I deal with a lot of people like this on a day-to-day basis. I think you should go and get help. Well, when I was younger, I had counselling for 4.5 years for depression and drink and various things. And it was the best thing I'd done. And when she said this, and this was only earlier this year, was it? Or maybe last year. It kind of really made me think. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I do. I do need to speak to somebody. I need to go and get help again. And I did. I got professional help. I went to see a counsellor for about 4 or 5 months, I think it was. And again, it was amazing. Best thing I ever done again. Yeah, it really made me think. And that really, thanks to the ex-partner, thanks to Natasha, I kind of sat there and thought, you know what, the time's right to finish my book. She made me feel confident in the fact that I could talk to somebody who wasn't a counsellor. So it was like, you know what, I need to get this in the book. And the book title initially was going to be What's Your Excuse? But then after speaking to the publisher, we come up with the No Excuses, No Limits. But after speaking to her, and yeah, it was a woman behind it just said, go for it, you know, do it, get it out there. And I'm really pleased I did, because it was a huge weight off my shoulders. And now, I mean, this year alone, since May, I've had two speaking bookings, whatever you want to call it, every month from May up until now. And I'd say tonight I'm doing my last one of the year. And it's really changed me in regards to, again, having the confidence, because, you know, something, as I said, I make excuses. And I think although I've been in business 7 years, I've been speaking at schools, colleges, unis most of my life. But I always held back on something. Whereas having it out there now to the public, although it's not completely fully detailed on a lot of stuff, it's detailed enough for me to have the confidence and share things. And as a prime example, sadly, obviously, a couple of months ago when Robin Williams took his own life, I made a video about that and put it on YouTube, put it out to my following on Twitter, etc. And I got really emotional in that video. And the video is generally about reaching out to men who are battling with depression, social anxiety, and saying, look, guys, let's just swallow our pride and go and get help. Please go and get help. Because the sad stats are that around, I think it's about 70-odd% of men who battle with depression, social anxiety, commit suicide. And obviously Robin Williams had. Now, that one video got retweeted and everything else, and Anxiety UK found that video, got in touch with me. I'm now speaking to Anxiety UK. They want me to write in their magazine that goes out to all of their members. They've asked me to do training. They're going to publish one of my books on their site, and they want me to be a speaker for them. So this book has really kind of opened up more than one door. And it's all because, again, I've stopped making excuses and I allowed myself to really get my message out there to change people. Well, not to change people, to inspire people, really, Tom.
Well, the whole process sounds very therapeutic then, the writing of the book in the first place. Mm. And obviously the transformation that you're going through as a person.
Yeah.
But I think the strength of it is that, you know, you're not one of these people, if you don't mind me saying, that have been on loads of courses and you've got loads of qualifications and letters after your name. You're just a bloke who's observed a few things. And I think the strength and beauty of the book is that it's just written in really what I call layperson's terms. So anyone can read it. And we can really relate to all the things that's happened to you. So do you find then that the sort of people that you can help the most is just the average Joe Blow that maybe hides these things, you know, that doesn't even realise they've got a depression. Definitely. And it maybe masks itself in other ways. Maybe they're having too much to eat, too much to drink, too much to gamble, addicted to computer games and this sort of stuff. And those sort of addictions are actually, I guess, a symptom of that something else is underlying.
Definitely, definitely. And that's one thing I've said to everybody is, you know, I mean, next year, my goal for next year is for me, I want to be talking in prisons. I have to be careful how I say that, because a lot of times I've said to people, yeah, next year I really want to go into prison. And I just like, really? Why? What are you going to do? So, yeah, I want to talk in prisons. I want to talk to young offenders. Because, yeah, I haven't got any qualifications. You know, I do a lot of marketing, but I haven't got a marketing degree. I haven't been to university to study marketing. I'm one of these people, I'm self-taught on everything that I've done. And if I can get into, you know, at all ages, all generations, whether it be the younger generation, the older generation, to really inspire them and empower them, to tell them that they can really achieve what they want to achieve, we just have to stop making excuses. If we can believe in ourselves, if we can appreciate everything that we've got and believe in ourselves, we can achieve whatever we want to achieve. You know, one thing that I always say to everybody is the life that we have led until now doesn't have to be the only life we lead. And I believe that. But again, sadly, with the media and everything that's out there, we don't believe that. There's a lack of confidence in ourselves. And that's where the excuses come from. But yeah, as I said, you know, I'm now, you know, only literally a month or two ago, I was called an international best-selling author, which is absolutely absurd. you know, it's crazy. I'm an inspirational speaker. I've trained, I think now it's over 10,500 people from 9 or 10 different countries. It's crazy. You know, I get asked to go and speak in schools, colleges, universities. A couple of years ago, I was speaking in front of, I think it was like 20 people from charities, cancer charities, Macmillan, and sharing my story. And I think, you know, there's too much. We live in this world with red tape. You know, red tape drives me absolutely insane. Can't do this, can't do that. Political correctness and everything else, you know. Freedom of speech, it's crazy, it's ridiculous. You know, I write in my book that I'm very blunt, I'm very controversial, I don't hold back, but that's me. Because for me to get my message across, to inspire others, to empower others, to support others, I need to be honest, you know. And sometimes it's hard in life for us to hear the truths, but we need to hear the truth. We need to accept the truth, because if we don't accept the truth, if we're not prepared to listen to the truth, all we're going to do is keep making excuses. You know, so let's listen to other people. Let's take advice on board and accept that, you know, constructive criticism is good. It's not always bad, and we need to accept that.
So you've kind of landed on your feet now, and having taken your excuses away and removed any limitations, any limiters, it seems to me that the universe is just giving you some amazing opportunities that are way beyond your wildest dreams.
Yes.
What's the baby step that someone can take out there just to start that journey? Because obviously not everyone's going to do what you're doing or what I'm doing or whatever, but how do people start getting rid of the excuse?
Learn to accept.
And what does that mean exactly? What do you mean by that? Accept what?
Accept the good and accept the bad. Okay. Unfortunately, this is going to sound quite cheesy, especially coming from a bloke, right?
Oh, we like cheese.
Yeah, excellent. Well, the film that everybody knows, Pretty Woman, right? Huge, huge popular film. Now, I always remember as a kid, there's a part in that film where Richard Gere is speaking to Julia Roberts, and Julia Roberts turns around in that film and says, "The negative things are always the easiest to believe."
Because, oh, that's good.
Because yeah. I think Richard Gere's comment, if I remember rightly, actually commented on how pretty she is. Obviously, she takes off her wig, and you know, she's hidden behind all of this fakeness. She has a wig and everything else. You know, I'm sure there's people out there that know the film, but she's a prostitute and she hides behind everything. When she takes her wig off and she shows her natural self, her true colours of who she is, Richard Gere pays her a compliment and says how beautiful she is, and she couldn't accept it. And she then said, as I just said, you know, the bad things, the negative things in life are easy to accept. And they are, sadly. But if we can accept the good and bad, it makes life a lot easier. And one thing that I've learned is, you know, yes, if somebody says something bad or there's something bad being written or commented about you, accept it, because that's people's opinions. Not everybody is going to like me. Not everybody's going to like you. And I'm not saying they don't matter. That's their opinions and they're entitled to that. But what really, really matters are the people that do appreciate me, people who take me for who I am. So I've learned to accept the good and the bad. Whereas over the last probably few years, I couldn't accept the good. I wouldn't accept it. If somebody could pay me a compliment, I didn't like it. Whereas now I've learned to accept it again. And simply all I say is thank you. That is it. Those two words are the most powerful words I believe anybody can say in the world. And unfortunately, it doesn't get said enough. Thank you. That is it. So if you hear something good about you, just say thank you. And if you hear something bad about you, just say thank you and accept it. But that bad thing, let's take it on board and let's learn by it. Because if it is a bad thing, then maybe that's someone that who don't have the time to maybe get to know us, but that's their opinion or maybe what they've heard us say, maybe something they've read on Twitter, Facebook or whatever. So let's learn from it. We might have said something that could have been taken the wrong way. And quite often I do. As I said, I'm very blunt, I'm very controversial. So yeah, accepting things in life, the good and the bad, is so important. And until people are prepared to accept the good and the bad, unfortunately, again, they're going to keep making excuses and they won't move on. And life will not give them what they deserve to live, what they deserve to have. And we all deserve to have great things in life.
So I suppose then, when you're using an excuse and when you're limiting yourself, what you're essentially doing is preventing your beauty from shining.
Yep.
The same way as Julia Roberts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
that's huge. I mean, so this book that you've written, I know it purports to be a self-help book, or you can even use it in business.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite a philosophical piece as well, really.
Yeah, I believe so. Because again, you know, one example that, or a couple of examples that I use in there, and I say I moved up to the northeast of the UK nearly 10 years ago. Now up here, there's a race that happens every year. It's called the Great North Run. It's a half marathon. I'm not a long distance runner. I've always done 100 metres, 200 metres. But when I moved up here, I said to myself, I want to do that. It's 13.1 or 13.2 miles. Every single year I put it off. And I made an excuse on why I didn't do it. Because I didn't believe in myself. I put the barriers up knowing that, well, I can do 100, 200 metres. I've also done 1,200 metres when I was younger. But 13.2 miles. That's well out of my limits. There's no way I can do that. But then the mental shift changed a couple of years ago. I started to hear people saying, you can do it. You can achieve this. At the time I was writing the book, I was like, you know, why are you making excuses? If you really want to do it, Paul, you'll go and do it. The reason why you've put it off for so long is because you clearly don't want to do it. And in a way, subconsciously, I kind of beat myself up. Go and look at you. What sort of a person are you? Just go and do it. What's stopping you? You know? And I went and done it. I achieved it. I run the Great North Run. I run half a marathon. So that was huge. You know, and another thing, I'm not sure, I don't think I touch on this in the book, actually, but it's what I was going to say. In regards to smoking, I was a very heavy smoker when I was younger. I used to smoke between 30 and 40 fags a day. Absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, back then, I know I am only young to most people, but back then you could smoke in pubs, you could smoke everywhere and anywhere. One night, I started working in the motor trade, selling cars when I was younger. And as I got better and better within that career, during the day, I was so busy. I wouldn't smoke during the day because I was so busy. Then my boss, my sales manager and I, we literally lived, you know, within a few miles, well, a mile, less than a mile from each other. We used to drink in the same pub. And so we wouldn't smoke during the day, but then we'd go to the pub, have a few pints, and I would easily smoke, you know, again, 15, 20 fags in an evening. It's ridiculous. And then one night we went in there, Mark and I, we stood at the bar, sparked up a cigarette, had a couple of mouthfuls of the beer, and I got halfway through my cigarette, and I looked at Mark. I went, you know what, mate? I said, I'm giving up smoking. This is ridiculous. Don't enjoy this. I'm giving up. He was like, why are you giving up? And I was like, well, I've had enough. I'm sick of this. I'm going to be a dad, and I don't want this anymore. I put that cigarette out. I screwed up the fag, the box, which I had about 8 or 9 left. I threw them in the bin. And as he went, what are you doing? I went, I just told you I've given up smoking. And he went, what? I said, I'm giving up smoking. That was 2002, and I've never had a cigarette since.
Well done. An expensive habit nowadays, isn't it?
Very expensive. So yeah. All I'm saying, you know, is, and I'm not, you know, my sister smokes, my brother-in-law smokes, I've got friends that smoke, and that's up to them. But all I'm saying is that if we really, really want something, let's just stop making excuses and go for it. Let's just do it. You know, because to me, if we don't want something bad enough, we're going to make an excuse. You know, so let's just go for it. As I said, if you want to write a book, what's stopping you from writing a book? What are you going to do? What, spend 10, 15 minutes a day, half an hour a day, sat on your computer, on your laptop, writing on a Word document? Jesus, you know, it's nothing. You're going to miss, what, half an hour of being on Facebook? You might miss half an hour of watching EastEnders or Coronation Street, whatever these days. You know, do you really want it? Do you really want to live a better life? If so, just go and do it. You know, as I said, I'm not perfect. I do make excuses. You know, but as I say, if I make those excuses, what I do now is I write them down and I talk about it in the book, and I have a little black book. Not for ladies' names, that's for another podcast. I have a little black book, whereas if I go through the day and I write something down, I haven't achieved something, I write it down. What didn't I achieve? And then in the evening I look at it, why didn't I achieve that? What was the excuse? What was the reason why I didn't achieve that? And then I look at it and I try and work out, well, was it because I didn't have enough time? Was it because the time wasn't right? Did I have to do this or whatever? And I make note of it. Now, a few years ago, I would really dwell on that and I'd beat myself up on why I didn't do it. Whereas now, I accept the fact that maybe it just wasn't the right time to do it. So let's look at things and go, okay, I might be making excuses, but instead of beating ourselves up, make note. You know, make note. Was it meant to be? Should I have done it today? Maybe I can do it tomorrow. But it's still an excuse, and we need to understand that. If we can understand why we're putting it off, it will make a lot of difference. Because as I said, with doing the Great North Run, it took me 5 years before I'd done it, but I still done it. You know, so that's all I would say is, you know, if you're going to make excuses, look at it and understand, why are you making an excuse? Is the time not right? Is it your inner self? Is it your confidence? You know, do you not 100% believe in yourself? Which I think is a big issue these days. You know, a lot of people don't believe in themselves. You know, but we're all good at everything as far as I'm concerned.
So now you've got this growing inner belief, which is burning brightly, Paul.
Mm.
We're just winding down 2014 as we speak. Yeah. What plans have you got for 2015? Where do you see 2015 going to take you?
Well, the first couple of months of 2015, I'm actually spending out in India. Mm-hmm. I'm going out there. I support a charity out there called El Shaddai. So I'm going out to speak to them because I want to set up some sort of academy, enterprise, or school out there for 16 years and upwards. This charity, they actually home these young people. They work with the families, they educate them, and they support them up until they're 16. So what I want to do is the young people that are 16, if they can't get a job, I want to be able to give them a job. So I'm out in India for the first couple of months to speak to a charity to see how we can arrange this, see if I can partner with them. If not, I'll do it on my own with maybe hopefully some help from other people. I then come back. I'm back at home about the 20th of March, which my second book should then be published and out there, which is called The Fear Factor, which is how to deal with anxiety. So that would be great. So that's the first 3 months of next year. I've now got a new PA, which is fantastic. So Lara and I, she's going to be working on going to do a lot more workshops, seminars, events up and down the UK. We're planning to do and launch the No Excuses, No Limits Summit. So there's going to be a lot of personal development, self-help, business events happening across the UK. And as I said, you know, a lot of the stuff that's come out with Anxiety UK, so I'll be doing a lot with them as well. So yeah, it's very much mapped out. I've just spoken to, there's an organisation which is called Speakers Corner. I think that's correct, which is down London. So I've just spoke to them and applied to them, registered to them to be an after-dinner speaker, keynote speaker. So, yeah, I've got a lot planned for next year. But like I say, the first quarter alone, just spent out in India and getting my book out there and doing stuff out there is just amazing. You know, I'm just, yeah, doing stuff that, I suppose, you know, a few years ago I was dreaming about, but, you know, I'm at that place now where it's out there, you know, let's just go and do it. So
fantastic. Well, Paul, you're an amazing inspiration and a great testament. You've been there, got the T-shirt, and the fact that you've taken your excuses away and your limitations away is a great testament to the words that you share in your book and the wisdom you share in your book. So will you come back on the Zone Show when the next book is out and when you've got a date for the summit?
I would absolutely love to. I really would, because the depression and the social anxiety has been a huge part of my life. You know, it's something that I've dealt with and battled with since I was 21. I had my first panic attack, really bad panic attack, when I was younger at 21, and to the point where my parents called the paramedics because I collapsed, I'd gone. So yeah, I'd love to talk about that. It's been a big part of my life, and this is why I ended up embracing the internet and the digital world, because I didn't go out literally for 2 years. I pretty much locked myself behind my door and I didn't go out. So I would love to. I'd love to come back and speak more about that. It's something I'm very passionate about.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Paul.
Thank you. Go well.
Have a great Christmas and an even more fantastic New Year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you doing this, Tom. Thanks ever so much for having me.
Take care.
Cheers, mate. Take care.